Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
An explosive new account from former National Security Advisor John Bolton that could undercut the president's case.
Bombshell report upending the impeachment trial of President Trump.
Bolton drops the bombshell in an unpublished manuscript for his forthcoming book.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
John Bolton right now isn't negotiating testimony. He's negotiating the size of his advance.
Nothing in what we've seen so far in his simply just leaked parts of this transcript has changed the basic facts of what we're talking about. It's amazing to me, again, how we're having selective leaks at this point in time. It's always coming up at a moment in which, frankly, seemingly their case is the weakest.
I do think, though, there is a coordinated Democratic strategy to try to have these time release fuses go off at various intervals.
That NSC needs to be completely removed from the White House and quarantined on the other side of the Potomac River somewhere until they can find out where the leaks are coming from.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
I'm here because Senator Sanders has actually committed to breaking up ICE and CBP. Organizing is about tipping people off if you start to see that ICE and CBP are in communities to try to keep people safe.
It's an extremely stupid statement made by somebody I never considered real smart anyways. 9 out of 10 of everybody ICE arrested last year was a convicted criminal or pending criminal charges. She's one of these Democrats keep saying, no one's above the law. The president is above the law. We need to impeach the president because he's not above the law. But apparently illegal aliens are above the law.
Unchained and unstoppable.
Today Israel has taken a giant step toward peace. Prime Minister Netanyahu informed me that he is willing to endorse the vision as the basis for direct negotiations with the Palestinians, a historic breakthrough.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. 844-500-4242. Taylor and Grace filling in for the big man as he goes to, he's going to a basketball game. Is that right, Grace?
Yes, the Celtics are, I believe, playing in Miami tonight.
He's always been kind of a basketball. He used to play basketball, right?
Oh, they called him Kuz.
I've never been a basketball guy. But
he was actually telling me last week that, you know, he was really, truly a one-of-a-kind athlete back in the day.
How he was?
Yeah.
One-of-a-kind?
When there was no one like him. Seeing him dribble up and down the court was a sight to behold.
Sure it was. I thought that some of the games were pushed back. I think at least one game was pushed back yesterday after Kobe's death, right?
Yeah, a lot of the games went on, and people were surprised that they didn't cancel them.
I don't think that's look, people can have their own way to honor somebody, but I think the best way to honor a basketball player is to play the game.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I mean, some people who were close with him were visibly shaken up. I didn't really have strong opinions one way or the other if they should play. But I think that's a valid point.
It's like when a member of the family or a friend dies and you knew them very well and, you know, they go to the funeral and everybody's telling these heartbreaking stories and everybody's crying. You just look around sometimes, or at least I do it, and I would say to myself, this is not how somebody would want to be remembered. They want everybody laughing and having a good time. So I don't. That's the way I see it. But very big loss for the NBA community with the loss of Kobe Bryant. But that's not what we're here to talk about at the Howie Carr Show. Again, just for clarity's sake, Howie is on his way to Miami to see the Celtics play whoever's the Miami team, the Heat.
Yes,
the Heat,
the Miami Heat. I never thought.
That you would school me and...
No, I never really thought there'd be a day at the Howie Carr Network where I was the sports expert.
Yeah.
But looking around here today with you and Brandon, I'm starting to feel like maybe that's the case.
I like...
Scary.
Brian Regan has a joke. We both like comedians, Grace. Brian Regan has a joke where he says he always dreamed of founding a basketball team in Miami and calling it the Humidity. So that way he could come out of the press conference the first day and they say, what's the name of your team, Brian Regan? And he'd say, well, it's not the Heat, it's the Humidity. And then he'd sell the team the next day. He'd just buy the team for the sake of that joke.
I like that.
All right, 844-500-4242. We've had a lot of cuts today that we weren't able to get to because there's just so much to be talking about. And I had the day off yesterday, thankfully, was able to get a lot done in my house. Wasn't really paying attention to the impeachment stuff, but apparently it was a big news day yesterday with the supposed John Bolton quote-unquote testimony and bombshell evidence and narrative that's coming out of this guy who's writing a book. And it always seems that somebody who's writing a book has something new and groundbreaking to say. Exactly. In search of it, there's always a tidbit, this juicy morsel that turns out to be a nothing burger when the book actually comes out. And a lot of people get duped into spending whatever a book costs these days, $19.99, $24.99, if you're going for the hardcover. Great deals, by the way, on HowieCarshow.com. Click on store if you want to get some deals on some really good books about some really good topics. A lot of juicy morsels in those.
Bombshells.
Bombshells, absolutely. But we did have, making their debut, of course, a lot of us didn't see the weekend coverage of President Trump's defense because it was a weekend, you're out doing things, and this is the way that a lot of people want this set up. We're seeing the Democrats know how to play their game, as we were talking earlier. They know how to play the game, delay things long enough so that they get the moment in the spotlight. Republicans, I feel that we are a no-nonsense group. We just want to get our stuff out. We believe that if it's worth covering, people are going to cover it. But then again, we take the left media for granted. We see it as you know, getting fair coverage, but we know it's not. Anyway, Alan Dershowitz was on yesterday. Apparently, Elizabeth Warren wasn't a very big fan of Alan Dershowitz's time in the spotlight, but he did have some good points yesterday, and we'll play a couple of those cuts. Let's go to cut two, Grace. This is Alan Dershowitz, who's saying that this is the Ukraine call that Trump is being impeached for, the basis of this entire sham. This is how business is done in Washington, D.C. It's how it's always been done, and basically, I think the business of the presidency hinges upon this impeachment trial, and this is what Alan Dershowitz had to say. Cut two.
Let's assume a Democratic president tells Israel that foreign aid authorized by Congress will not be sent, or an Oval Office meeting will not be scheduled unless the Israelis stop building settlements. Quid pro quo. I might disapprove of such a quid pro quo demand on policy grounds, but it would not constitute an abuse of power. Quid pro quo alone is not a basis for abuse of power. It's part of the way foreign policy has been operated by presidents since the beginning of time.
And that's his entire point, is that quid pro quo, what the left and what everybody that's gunning for impeachment of President Trump, of course, he's been impeached already. We have to go through that explanation. But everybody who's been gunning for this whole process to get Trump has always said quid pro quo, quid pro quo, quid pro quo. They don't take into account the motive behind it. And that's what a lot of people are trying to figure out. But quid pro quo in this instance is about getting something. It wasn't even about an investigation, because it was not clear what President Trump was asking for. He didn't say what I need you to do, or he didn't say, could you do this for me? He said, look, there's been talk about Joe Biden and his son. This and getting things done, again, as Alan Dershowitz pointed out, in foreign policy, there has to be an exchange of goods and or services. Look, you call up Israel and say, look, you got to lay off of this subject. And you call up Palestine and say, hey, they're going to do this for you, but you need to do the... There's all kinds of deals throughout history of foreign policy where it's been a two-way or a three-way deal, that there's been benefits to every single side. It's called compromise. It's called foreign policy. For they do different things in whatever different circumstances so that all sides can be appeased in some way. Not everybody is always happy, But there's usually a give and take here. That's exactly what President Trump was trying to do in Ukraine. He said, look, you guys, you've got some issues in the past that we've seen with corruption. We need you to do this to belay our fears, at least look into something so that we know you're not corrupt. And this is something that has Ukrainian benefits and United States benefits all tied into it. You look at this one issue, and I think that'll show your people and our people that we can trust you, that you can be a nation that's trusted again, and we can move forward, and we can release the aid, which was released, by the way, without any Ukrainian officials knowing that it was being held up.
Wait, Taylor, I thought the conversation, according to Adam Schiff, went a little something like this.
Wait, hold on. Yeah, you got to get the Godfather music behind you, Grace.
I'm going to make you an offer.
Let's see if we have it in our library.
Exactly. It was a movie script. Do we have it, Grace? Yeah.
Listen to me. You listen to me. I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse. Okay?
Look what I did to my Santino.
You come to me the day before impeachment.
I don't want Nancy Pelosi to see him like this.
844-500-4242. Let's, and to Alan Dershowitz's point, and mine as well, let's have cut three. This is Alan Dershowitz saying that the whole basis for this impeachment sham is so vague and so incomprehensible to anybody that's looking at this as a black and white issue. You can't impeach just because you don't like somebody's policy or the way they go about getting that policy done. Cut three, Grace.
The claim that foreign policy decisions can be deemed abuses of power based on subjective opinions about mixed or sole motives, that the president was interested only in helping himself, demonstrate the dangers of employing the vague, subjective, and politically malleable phrase abuse of power as a constitutionally permissible criteria for the removal of a president.
Again, I don't know what Elizabeth Warren was reading or watching when she said that she couldn't make heads or tails of Alan Dershowitz's statements. I think they're crystal clear. It's too vague, he's saying. You're trying to impeach on articles of impeachment that, first of all, don't lay out any high crimes or misdemeanors. And second of all, it's all subjective. You don't like his policy. You don't like his way of doing things. And that's what you're impeaching him on. There's nothing here. There is no there. 844-500-4242. I'm Taylor Cormier. Grace Curley is on the board filling in for Howie Carr. This is the Howie Carr Show.
He didn't come here to be made sport of. Howie Carr.
This is Jeff in Woodstock, Connecticut.
This is Laura Benner in South Burlington, Vermont.
This is Jimmy Mack in Falmouth, Massachusetts. And this is The Howie Carr Show.
It follows from this that if a president, any president, were to have done what the Times reported about the contact of the Bolton manuscript, that would not constitute an impeachable offense. Let me repeat, nothing in the Bolton revelations, even if true, would rise to the level of an abuse of power or an impeachable offense.
I guess there's reporting out today that the GOP does not have enough votes to block witnesses, and it's because of this stupid manuscript that the White House somehow leaked, or somebody in the White House leaked it. Devin Nunes said earlier today that the National Security Council needs to be taken across the Potomac River and quarantined until they figure out who's leaking. And some people have a very good idea of who is leaking this information. We'll get into that a little bit later. But now it is time for the poll question, brought to you today by Orion Metal Exchange. It's the only precious metals company that Howie trusts. Give them a call to get a free no-obligation investment guide about protecting your future with an enduring investment in gold and silver. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain, including peace of mind, by calling now. Call them today at 800-912-2300. And with Orion, you'll get more metal for your money. Call 800-912-2300. Grace, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Are you concerned about the coronavirus?
I am not concerned about the coronavirus.
64% of people say no.
You know, my wife tells me every time I make a statement like that, to knock on wood, I don't do it.
I feel the same way as your wife. Like, by saying you're not concerned about it, you're almost putting out into the universe.
I can't show on social media what I do instead of knocking on wood, but I do show a certain finger to all the ions and neutrons around me. Just to the
That's
general,
a very not suitable
the
for
general
work,
atmosphere.
Knock on wood.
I always tell her, and she's in the medical industry. I'm not an anti-vaxxer, by the way. I'm not. I think vaccines should be administered to children, but look, personally, I'm not a big fan. The last time I got the flu was in 2007. You know when I had my last flu shot? 2007. I haven't had the flu since I had a flu shot.
Hey, Taylor,
it was
just
so funny that I got the flu shot, then got the flu, but I haven't had the flu since. Maybe it was just a really good vaccine that one time.
I know that Howie doesn't give us a lot of tips when he leaves and takes the slide, but I feel like one of them would be don't get the anti-vaxxers going.
That's okay.
And you're just walking right into it.
That's all right. We've got plenty of stuff to talk about. 844-500-4242. Let's go to the phone lines, though, before we head to a break. Mark, you're next on the Howie Carr Show with Grace and Taylor. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Taylor. I love the show. You've really been a pretty good replacement for Steve, I got to tell you.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Two things. The left has been looking down their noses at us since way back with George Bush. I mean, they literally are arrogant and think we are stupid and they are intelligent if we just weren't so dumb, you know?
Right.
I would say it goes back further. Ronald Reagan. I was talking to Howie about that today. They used to say he was dumb, too. Dumb actor, didn't know anything.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a good point. And I'm sure it goes back even further than that. But if you go back any further than that, the Democrats were as right to the middle as the Republicans are now. So it's,
oh, yeah, big change.
Exactly.
The other thing I want to mention is this bombshell from Bolton, okay? I believe I read a quote from the book, and it said something to the effect of, we're not going to release that until we investigate my political rival.
Right. I'm not sure. I haven't even seen myself what was in the book. I don't think really many people have, because the quotes from the manuscript are, well, probably soon to be a matter of impeachment evidence. I don't think too many people have seen quotes from the book itself, because first of all, the book hasn't been released. I think it's released on Amazon tomorrow for pre-sale. We'll see where it goes. I'm sure it's going to sell a lot more copies now. Who else? Who would have wanted to read a book by John Bolton?
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
He had a confederacy of dunces defending him in impeachment. And Willie, where do we begin with Ken Starr? If irony weren't already dead and buried years ago, it was Ken Starr yesterday talking about how abuse of power is not sufficient to impeach a president. You need a crime. He literally...
Wait. It's okay for Jerry Nadler to play, to play all these cuts of the council saying things from back then and now, and it's okay for everybody to, you know, for the Democrats to say when the cuts of them are played that they've thought differently about things then. This is obviously a different situation, but apparently Joe Scarborough doesn't think that can apply to Trump's counsel right now. First of all, they're lawyers, and if they think you've got a case, they'll defend you.
The other thing, though, Taylor, is that Ken Starr, I kind of get their argument there just because the Bill Clinton impeachments were so high profile and everybody remembers them so vividly. But as far as someone out of everyone who is pretty consistent, and I'm not saying he's a perfect person, but consistency-wise, Alan Dershowitz is consistent. He said, I defended Richard Nixon, who I hated. I defended Bill Clinton, who I loved. I would defend Hillary Clinton, who I voted for.
If she were in this situation,
He's really, he has his beliefs, and he really does stick
to them. He's a lawyer's lawyer.
He really is. And I find that impressive nowadays.
Well, that's, I don't know if that's impressive. I mean, that's, lawyers are famous for all kinds of things, all kinds of stereotypes about lawyers that you get into. But if they think you've got a case, they will defend you. They're for hire to defend. And that's their job.
But he truly does think that this is what's happening to Trump is wrong.
Sure.
I mean, he's been going on TV about it for the last couple years, despite the fact that he's lost some invitations to some really nice parties in Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah, he's all alone on the vineyard now. I'm sure he's got friends. I'm sure there's
an island.
I'm sure there. I'm sure. I'm sure there's actually a large population on Martha's Vineyard that's very secretive about who they align themselves with politically because they don't. That's the same story everywhere. There's rich conservatives. There's rich leftists. But I did want to get into this a little bit. Breitbart reporting something very interesting that's come out in the past couple of hours and was confirmed over the past couple of hours, at least by a source. So we had Devin Nunes. I don't know if we've played the full cut. It's in the intro, but it's cut 15. Nunes speaking about this latest Bolton revelations and this manuscript that was leaked, and has now found its way to the impeachment showdown sham drama theater that's going on Capitol Hill. Cut 15.
One of the things that has to happen that should be perfectly clear now is that NSC needs to be completely removed from the White House and quarantined on the other side of the Potomac River somewhere until they can find out where the leaks are coming from.
Let's also go to Representative Doug Collins, cut 11.
It's amazing to me, again, how we're having selective leaks at this point in time. I think it should be interesting to anyone how this happened. Remember, just right before the articles were voted out of the House, we had the Democratic's colleagues in the House actually talk about the Lev Parnas issue. It's always coming up at a moment in which, frankly, seemingly their case is the weakest.
And let's hear from Representative Matt Gaetz, cut 14.
You know, I don't make much of this. I do think, though, there is a coordinated Democratic strategy to try to have these time-release fuses go off at various intervals. I think this Lev Parnas stuff is not organic. Right. I think the Bolton stuff, I think they're trying to keep the show lively because they know that the underlying facts do not support impeachment and would require this president to be exonerated. That's exactly.
Now, it's obvious that the congressman, because the senators are wrapped up in these proceedings, they have their daily morning briefings, what their talking points to the press are going to be for the day. But they are consistent. There is obviously a leak from somewhere within the White House. And this has been the story of the Trump administration, people trying to make names for themselves or trying to be these undercover heroes in ousting this president who's doing the Lord's work, the people's work,
Taylor,
in the White
House. I can already hear the counter-argument, though, against Matt Gaetz and those guys.
What?
Conspiracy theorists. Oh, you guys, whoa, put your tinfoil hats back on.
All right, let's dissect that, Grace. There's a conspiracy, and they have theories about it. What's so crazy about that? Not everybody's a tinfoil hat wearer. There's obviously a conspiracy here against the president. We're watching it being played out on national TV every single day.
Taylor, all of these theories have been conclusively debunked.
That's not true. And we'll get into that right now. Breitbart, reporting a source close to the Trump administration, informs Breitbart News that Army Lieutenant Colonel Evgeny Vindman, a senior ethics lawyer for the National Security Council, is in charge of reviewing all publications by current and former NSC officials. Vindman, why does that name sound familiar? Well, the official added that Evgeny Vindman could have seen former NSA's John Bolton's draft manuscript after it was submitted for pre-publication review at the end of December. But that was Vindman's twin brother, the other Lieutenant Colonel, whatever his name was, that testified, Alexander Vindman. This is his twin brother that works in the White House. The review is a standard process that allows the NSC to review book manuscripts, op-eds, or any other material for any classified material to be eliminated before publication. But when you see one Vindman making a name for himself in the impeachment proceedings in the House, and, you know, he had his moment in the sun, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, all that, and reporting on these conversations that he really didn't hear, these everything was hearsay. Looking at the transcript, he confirmed that the transcript was 100% accurate, but then went on to testify that he thought different things of it. He had a different opinion, a different representation of it. New York Times reported Sunday evening that Bolton's draft book manuscript, which had been submitted to the NSC for pre-publication review on December 30th, alleged that President Trump told Bolton in August 2019 that he wanted to withhold security assistance to Ukraine until it agreed to investigate former Vice President Joe Biden, among others. Now, so far, we don't have anything that's a bombshell here, as far as I can see. I haven't really seen any quotes from Bolton's book. I have not heard the exact wording of it, but I don't think that's in question that President Trump wanted Joe Biden and his son Hunter investigated. He said that himself in the call. Look, people have been talking about Joe Biden and Hunter, and we're wondering if you can look into that for the American people as a favor to us. And as I said earlier, there's benefits for both Ukraine and the United States when it comes to something like that. It shows that Ukraine isn't a corrupt country. It's not, doesn't have a corrupt administration anymore. And it could clear or defame the Bidens. Who knows what the outcome would have been if everything was on the up and up? Why are people so afraid of it? But this the claim from John Bolton in this book, at least from what Breitbart is reporting, it doesn't seem to be too off the mark from what appears to be a truth from the transcript. Bolton's lawyer Chuck Cooper issued a statement in which he said, quote, "It is clear, regrettably, from the New York Times article published today that the pre-publication review process has been corrupted. Evgeny Vindman is the identical twin brother of Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, who's one of the Democrats' key witnesses in the impeachment of President Trump. Brothers have offices across from each other." That seems to me to be almost a conflict of interest right there. Maybe that's worthy of investigation. 844-500-4242. Let's go to the phone lines. John, you're next on the Howie Carr Show with Taylor and Grace. Go ahead, John.
Thanks, Taylor and Grace. I just wanted to say that John Lemon cackling like a jackal about Trump's intelligence. You know, these are the people that promote the killing of unborn children. There's nothing intellectual about that up until the day of birth. There's nothing. Does he forget that we remember how they treated Kavanaugh and his family? We are not going to forget that as, you know, the American citizen, and how cruel they were to Kavanaugh and his family.
But we're seeing it all over again. And as Howie was pointing out earlier in the show, John, I don't know if you caught it, but he was talking about all these different advantages, these advantage points that the Democrats seem to be taking a hold of whenever there's a weak spot. And as Doug Collins said in the cut we just played a few minutes ago, anytime there's a weak spot in impeachment, there's this new bombshell that comes out. And that's what happened with Brett Kavanaugh during his hearings to be on the Supreme Court. Anytime that there was, it seemed that his name had been cleared of something, there was unnamed source that came up, another story that you heard about him. Oh, another thing in his calendar that looked suspicious, another joke in his diary that people didn't get. So everything was under scrutiny because they couldn't get him. They couldn't get a guy that was, you know, impervious to ridicule and mudslinging. And that's, again, what's happening with President Trump. 844-500-4242. Ryan, you're next on the Howie Carr Show with Grace and Taylor. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, Taylor. Hey, Grace.
Hello.
So, yeah. Hey. So, concerning Don Lemon and this new honesty you guys are talking about, I'm reminded of a quote by Benjamin Franklin that I think the media would do well to heed. It goes like this: for though many can forgive injuries, none ever forgave contempt.
Yeah, that's something. It doesn't hurt us. I don't think any one of us takes that to heart and says, oh, you know, they're coming at us individually. But we see that they have a hatred for us. And why? Because we support our president. And that's something that they have. That's a hatred that they have that they're not willing to let go of, and we can't let go of it for them. It kind of has to be held against them. Yeah, I've never hated anybody that's voted for anyone. I don't care who you vote for. I don't understand what it is that drives people to just completely end relationships or you know, call out half of the country and say that they're boomer rubes. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't know what's to be gained from that. And obviously CNN just doesn't care, because Don Lemon, amidst of a civil lawsuit, mind you, is still employed even after making these comments. And it's not the first time. It won't be the last, I assure you.
You know what, Taylor? Yeah. I like that quote. And I might pull a Howie on this, Ryan, and I might borrow that quote from you for my next column.
Remember this, though, Grace. I coined demsplaining today.
Well, that's what you say. The thing is, though, once I write it in my column, it's, you know, who really coined it? Can we really tell? It might be you, it might be me.
I believe Brandon can pull up the cut of me saying that and coining that phrase.
No, I'm giving him the George Stephanopoulos cut sign right now.
Okay, great. 844-500-4242. We'll get back to your calls in just a moment. This is the Howie Carr Show.
The Howie Carr Show.
This is Chris in Rochester, Mass.
This is Mark in Nashville, New Hampshire.
This is Lorna in Truckstown, Pennsylvania. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
Look, in my view, additional witnesses are not necessary. The House managers have presented their case. They haven't come remotely close to meeting their burden of proof. Now, that being said, if the Senate later this week, when we vote on witnesses, decides to go down the road to additional witnesses, I think at a minimum, the most important witness for the Senate to hear from is now Hunter Biden.
Well, it looks like we may actually get a chance to hear from Hunter Biden, as Fox is reporting that Mitch McConnell does not have the votes from the GOP to block witnesses. And tomorrow we start with the written questions. Opening arguments have wrapped up. That took about a week, right? Longer than certainly any other trial I've ever seen. But we may get a chance. But, you know, this is only possible because the Democrats walked out this leak of Bolton's book somehow. And because we have a vague statement that we know nothing about, we have to stop everything and hear from somebody that's probably not very relevant to this conversation whatsoever.
I don't blame the Democrats. That's the game they're supposed to play. I'm so disappointed that the GOP doesn't have votes to block this.
We knew from the House proceedings that Bolton was the one who got up and said, I'm not going to be a part of this drug deal that you and whoever else is cooking up. Why didn't the House subpoena John Bolton? Why didn't they get him to be a witness? Why do they have to put that on the Senate? I don't know. Why couldn't they be bothered to do their job? You ever work with somebody who it's their job to do something and they don't do it, and now it's your responsibility and it comes back on you, like the boss comes in and hates on you because you didn't get it done, but the other person was supposed to do it.
This feels a little passive-aggressive, Taylor. If you have something you need to tell me, if you're upset about something.
I coined the word demsplain. That's what I'm upset about. 844-500-4242. Interesting question posed by Jeff Jacoby at the Boston Globe. Should Trump cancel the State of the Union? Jeff says. Any guesses what Jeff says at the Boston Globe if Trump should cancel the State of the Union address?
I'm going to go with absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Because basically it's a big commercial for Trump. Every year we're supposed to get an update from POTUS about how the nation is doing, what has been accomplished in the last year, and what we're supposed to look forward to in the next year. If you're going to take the logic that a commercial for the Trump presidency should be taken off the air because he's under impeachment, you might as well just have him just sitting by the poolside at Mar-a-Lago next to Howie drinking daiquiris or whatever, because you don't want him doing everything he's done. Every policy he's put in place has been a positive for the country. And it's yielded great results for the economy and for the people of the United States. His record itself and the records he's setting every day is one big commercial for another Trump term. It doesn't matter if the State of the Union is put off or not. But gosh, you know, what else? What else? This is just another tactic, another opportunity to try to knock the guy when he's down so that other people can't point to him and say, look, this is a positive for him. They don't want him going up in the midst of an election cycle and pointing to all the good things that he's, because he's going to be on every network. He's going to be on every single network talking about all the big wins, and it's not going to be able to be ignored forever. I'm Taylor Cormier. Grace Curley, thank you so much for being on the board this hour. Howie is back tomorrow. This is the Howie Carr Show.